under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen online at ILoveTheTruth.com. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion on the issue each and every day as we face the issues. Your telephone call goes right through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're talking about today, I believe, if not the most important, one of the most important issues that we can talk about, especially approaching the election coming up. What have we got? 33 days before the election. And in these next several days, the state of Florida is going to make a decision on six amendments. We're not going to talk about all six of them today. But we're going to be talking about Amendment 3. Amendment 3 and 4, perhaps most dastardly and the most destructive for our state. Amendment 3 is the amendment asking you, we the people, to vote yes or no on making pot, marijuana, a constitutional right. Now, when we talk about a constitutional right, that has a lot of connotations, and we're going to talk about that today and why we need to vote no on Amendment 3, talking about allowing pot, marijuana, to be legalized in the state of Florida. Very, very serious issue. Perhaps you have pro and con ideas about it. Perhaps you have thoughts in relationship to why you should say yes. I've had folks want to argue and debate that marijuana is no different than smoking a cigarette, no different than having a can of Bud Dumb or a Miller Low Life, but there's a whole lot of difference. And I'm not authorizing or saying it's good for any of those things, because I think, biblically speaking, it is wrong and is out of the realm of what Christians ought to do. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about that today. We have a very special guest with us that we'll introduce in a moment as we enter into that discussion. But first of all, let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes right through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, and dialogue. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God's word is the first, final, and foremost say-so and what we should or should not do. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 20th verse, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We're not our own once we say yes to Jesus. We're bought with a price. Therefore, we need to be very, very careful what we do with our physicality that God has given us and the health that he's provided us with. So as we face the issues, I go back to the truth book. John 8, 30 and 31, the Lord Jesus speaking, 31 and 32, that is, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, said this, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free." John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, there's the declaratory statement made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2 says the truth of the Lord endures forever. And I want us to remember that, because after all, there are a lot of folks today that reject truth. What we're talking about today, the issue that we speak on today, we're going to talk about truth. But we are all being blasted in the state of Florida with Madison Avenue, high profile, super slick ads that will tell you to vote yes on Amendment 3. They'll tell you how the teachers are for it, how the law enforcement's for it, and how it's going to give millions of dollars back into education. We're going to tell you why that's an absolute lie today and why we need to depend on the Word of God. It was the Orwellian secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's where we stand today. And I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of where you stand on this marijuana issue, this marijuana amendment, this pot amendment, no matter how you stand, we still need to go back to the centrality of truth. As the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, headline says, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, let me read you one of his statements. Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, a recent article states, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, the millennial age group, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% tell us, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, may I say once again, a half-truth is a whole lie. And what we're witnessing and watching today with a lot of these super slick, high-profile ads on television trying to inundate the minds and the hearts and the thoughts of the voters to vote yes on these some of these amendments that are deadly and that will destroy morals, ethics, and values in our families in the state of Florida, they're a lie. It's a half-truth, but it's a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge to you each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. And atop that flagpole is Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. Base that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Before we get into the essence of our conversation and the issue today, let me say we need to continue to pray for those thousands and thousands of families that were in the pathway of the recent hurricane. We're told, ladies and gentlemen, the new number of known deaths now is 130. And they say hundreds and hundreds are still missing. Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee are the hardest hit with the aftermath of this hurricane. Ladies and gentlemen, some cities are completely wiped out. About 1.5 million still have no power, according to the latest statistics on the morning news. Thousands with no means of food, clothing, or home. Yet, let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, in the sadness of all of the catastrophic events that's taken place in the past several days with the hurricane coming through, decimating homes and families and cities and businesses, millions of people that are looking at life as being hopeless and helpless and stranded because of the condition that they're in. And yet FEMA, you know, the organization that's part of the federal agency that's supposed to be looking out for us when things like this takes place. The head of FEMA, the female appointee for the head of FEMA was a DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion appointee that should have known, should have been prepared, having things staged so there could be an immediate follow-up. That wasn't done. And Joe Biden, in his lackadaisical, demented state, simply said, we're going to get there as soon as we can. Harris hasn't been there. Joe Biden hadn't been to any of the devastated places across America as a result of the hurricane, but yet supposedly they care for us. I'm saying that as kind of a footnote because we need to remember these things when we walk in the polls to vote in about 33, 34 days. This election is going to be the most important election in the history of the United States of America, in my most humble opinion. We must pray, ladies and gentlemen, asking God to divinely intervene in this election. And let me just simply be up front. I am concerned because of the devastation in so many areas. I'm concerned for people, number one, and their having their needs met. But I'm also concerned at the aftermath of that, that multitudes, millions, in my most humble opinion, will not have on the top burner any thought 30-some-odd days from now of voting. Can you imagine? Your home's been decimated. Your job is decimated. You cannot get in and out of your property because of the bridges being out, the flood stage, et cetera, et cetera. Places like North Carolina, Asheville in particular, many places up in the mountains of Tennessee, et cetera, and here in South Florida and up and down the Gulf Coast, western coast of the state of Florida. How many of those are going to be putting on the top burner of things to do today or tomorrow or next week or next month to go out and vote? So we need to pray, ladies and gentlemen, that God's going to divinely, and many of these areas are what we call red cities and red communities, that is Republican, conservative. But can we look beyond just to this moment and consider where these people are in the devastation and whether or not they will even care about, think about, be concerned about going out to vote? So this is the reason I say we need to ask God to divinely intervene in two or three fashions. Number one, intervene in allowing people to be able to go and vote. By the way, I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe that the powers to be, the Harris-Biden administration, will find a reason to give some kind of executive order that all voting must be by external or by mail-in ballot or by drop box ballot simply because of the hurricane devastation. It is my prayer that that doesn't happen, but that is the high probability in my mind, knowing that there's an attempt even now to steal this election as they attempted to in 2016, as they did in 2020, and again in 2022. So it's my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that we'll be earnestly seeking God's intervention in this election. Ladies and gentlemen, have you considered, listen, in the state of Florida, we've got six amendments on the ballot. Amendment 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. 3 and 4, Amendment 3 is the pot amendment, as I call it, making it a constitutional right to have pot. Amendment 4 makes it a constitutional right, not a law, but a constitutional right to have an abortion. And ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to a constitutional right, we need to understand just a month from now, there are going to be those that will be voting. And my question is, how do you intend to vote on Amendment 3? What are your intents in relationship to making it legal to have pot, a constitutional right to smoke pot or to use pot in any fashion? Today, as we discuss the pot amendment, by the way, let me remind you once again that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, the marijuana growers and distributors and outlets for the marketplace have invested just under $100 million, maybe more. They're admitting about $90 million at this point. Listen, you've heard me say before on these amendments, when we talk about having an amendment, in the state of Florida since 1973, we've amended our Florida state constitution 127 times. We've made Swiss cheese out of our constitution. It's like a Sears and Roebuck catalog, if you can recall what they looked like before the internet. ladies and gentlemen, when when the powers to be want to pass something, get something done that cannot be done through the legislative process, they will go out and spend millions and millions of dollars to have it put on a ballot for you to vote to, again, change, modify, add to our state constitution to get it done. It's a backdoor approach to have a power elitist group have their way. And that's what's happening with the marijuana industry in the state of Florida today. It's happening across America. We're facing it right now. And with the super slick Madison Avenue ads on television, they're advocating for the pot amendment. They're saying that it's safe, lab tested, and legal for adults to be able to use marijuana. And if you'll notice, ladies and gentlemen, some that propose to be law enforcement with a law enforcement vehicle parked behind them say that they're for that, that it will help law enforcement then to focus on real crimes. What is a real crime in comparison to a family of 6 or 8, 10 people being murdered on the highway by a marijuana-induced driver that did not have the reflexes to drive that vehicle and kills a whole family? What greater crime than you call that, than to have that as being viewed as such? I've got a fistful of articles. Time's not going to allow us to get into all of them because we have our special guest that I'm going to ask most of these questions to today. But I'm looking at a headline that says, law enforcement divided over Amendment 3 to legalize marijuana in Florida. Safe and Smart Florida is funding and creating this and other ads to persuade Florida voters to pass the cannabis amendment. Amendment 3 allows responsible adults, as their ad says, to buy and safely use regulated, lab-tested marijuana from a store, not on the streets, allowing law enforcement to focus on serious crimes, according to that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie. It's a fabrication. And those that are the talking faces, men and women, on these ads, keep in mind they're paid thousands upon thousands of dollars to be play actors, hypocrites, for the ads because of thousands of dollars that they're getting paid to do. Before we introduce our guest today, I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over your question or comment, please.
Yes, Doc. Thank you so much for taking the call. I'll make this as quick as I can. Certainly agree with what you said, your concerns about the voting impact because of the floods. But you quote John Huss quite a bit from the 15th century. And just before him, there was another English theologian. Huss wasn't English, but there's an English theologian. Occam, O-C-C-A-M, sometimes O-E-K-H-A-M, who came up with Occam's razor. And I want to apply that to what's happening right now. He said, and it's generally accepted in the philosophical community, the simplest explanation is usually the best. And I observed something yesterday in a banking institution where I'm moving my money from very quickly, what little I have, because I've observed some things in several visits to that institution that tell me that if I take the simplest explanation, the leadership, the very woke Columbia University impacted leadership of this relatively large institution nationally.
Marshall, let me interrupt for just a moment. We've got some kind of technical difficulties. If you'll hang in, don't hang up. I'm going to reconnect so that we can get a better signal.
All right. Yes, sir.
Interference of I call it the electronic demons, but go ahead with your statement.
All right, sir. I'll really kind of make this a summary statement if I can. But I was talking about a financial institution that you and I both have intimate awareness of. It's one of the largest in the country for what it does. And I believe, applying Occam's razor, that is, the simple fractionation is the best. However strange this sounds, and I'm going to tie this to other things happening, I believe the leadership of this country, of this institution, is intensely trying to collapse this large institution after distributing the funds, let's say, for what their political reasons are. Now, that's I've got to study the banking regulations, but I have no other conclusion than these people who may be paid massive amount of money to do this, to influence our national economy a little bit, they're redistributing the wealth, and I think they're trying to do it through a banking institution and collapsing it by making very bad specious loans and literally handing out money. Now, that's all I'm going to say now. I've just observed it. Yesterday, I saw it up close and personal. There's no other explanation. This bank, this institution, financial institution, is being run like none other I've ever seen. And the only explanation I can come up with is there's an intentional reason for it. But there's also an intentional reason for the things that are happening in the deep state. Our government, as you know, is so corrupt. It is top to bottom filled with woke people in positions of power who also, if you apply Occam's razor, are simply trying to collapse this nation, to subsume them into a global empire. And I assume they've already been promised great positions in that global empire. Whatever sound, how strange that sounds to your listeners, that's the direction we've been heading anyway since the beginning, one world empire, and we're yes. close to do that. So here's what I think is about to happen because of this this satanic, you know, God had a purpose for the storm, I believe that, and he permitted it to happen, but where it has struck and the things it has done will cause the results in the election that you just talked about. But we have other things happening in the Middle East, and I am rather certain now, again, applying Occam's razor, that we're a matter of days from martial law, from fallout from the things in North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia, from economic circumstances, but more importantly, through the things that are happening in the Middle East. I believe that the evil leadership of our country is going to come up with a specious reason to declare martial law, suspend any elections, and it's toast from there. That would take a long time to explain that. I'm not going to do that or even try, but I wanted to float that today. And here's the result. Here's what we need to do as a result of it. And again, it may sound strange to people, but this needs to happen. Every Christian in this country needs to be praying privately and corporately to himself and out loud for this nation, but for one thing in particular, for the utter dissolution and destruction of the Democrat Party and its leadership. I don't wish death on anybody. That's not what I'm implying, because I don't want anybody to go to hell, even Democrats that deserve to go there. But what I do pray for is a spirit of confusion to come over the Democrat Party so that they are absolutely unable to function, and by default, Republican leadership will move in and give direction to this country. We are in a time of utter chaos that is caused by only one possible source. Again, Occam's razor. Nothing human could be happening on this scale, on this earth, except Satan himself were behind it. And that's where we are. This nation is in a life and death struggle with the evil one. And he inhabits the Democrat Party, absolutely. He's other places too. But he is in charge of Democrat leadership. And I believe churches should be openly praying for the divine removal of the Democrat Party, particularly its leadership, in the few days we have left. So with that extreme statement, I'll leave you. But this nation
Amen. Well, I second that motion. Thank you so much for your input. You're exactly right. I am concerned about where we're going. I'm concerned about the aspect of the potentiality of martial law. I've talked about that before. And if that takes place, then it's, as I call it, Katie barred the door as far as any future destiny for America. So, Marshall, thank you so much for your input.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. I've got with us today Lawrence Perkins. Lawrence is the CEO, the head of the organization called Keep Florida Fresh, to discuss Amendment 3 today, the amendment that if 61%, I believe it's 61%, were to vote yes on it, I think it will destroy the state of Florida. Lawrence, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. Thank you for taking time to join us. And if you would briefly, by way of introduction of Keep Florida Fresh, who is it, why is it in existence, and what is its goal?
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me today. Keep Florida Fresh was created as a response to some of the ads that we saw on the television and on the radio. And as you've described them, they are, in my opinion, significantly deceptive in their presentation. You know, one of the things that we look at in the very first Psalm, Psalm 1, says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. It's so very easy to see the media and the promotion and the, as you call it, the professional presentation of misinformation.
Yes.
And so Keep Florida Fresh was created to provide a more accurate presentation of the Florida 3 Amendment, focused specifically on three things: the vulnerability of developing young minds, the change in potency of the THC available today in the marketplace, and the argument between alcohol and marijuana, and the justification that marijuana is less dangerous, and try to look at those and refute those. But more broadly, there's a lot of other issues that need to be spoken to, and some of the things that we do is we place out on the corresponding Facebook page quite a number of issues. You touched on a moment ago the claim that there are law enforcement agencies that support this amendment. Well, there aren't very many. Mm-hmm. There is one, Gadsden County Sheriff. That's where Trulieve has the $1.1 billion Canadian company, has a 380,000 square foot facility. And
explain that, Trulieve. People may not understand that name. You and I know it. What is it?
Trulieve is a company that manufactures cannabis products. They consolidated most of their U.S. operations in Quincy, Florida, Gadsden County. There had three plants that they closed last year in Massachusetts because of lawsuits and because of the death of a worker there from complications regarding the cannabis dust. But they have moved their manufacturing operations and growing operations to Gadsden County. And again, that's the singular sheriff in the state of Florida that has we've seen on the ads on the TV.
Would you say he's a paid puppet?
Well, I think that they use a number of paid actors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know his circumstances, but it is extraordinary that he's one of over 60 sheriffs in the state of Florida and the one that is pro of the Amendment 3. I think it's a very, very sad circumstance. I think we have an example here in Duval County of a sheriff that is adamantly against Amendment 3, as well as across the state.
Our governor's against Amendment 3, and I'm thankful for that.
Fortunately.
Speak to that. In fact, take a moment. We'll then take our top of the hour news break and come back. But speak to the issue that the amendment that is on the ballot and the side issue that's there explaining it and how a person should view it, what should be seen. Just elaborate more deeply on Amendment 3, why it is bad, why we should vote no, how will it affect our families, our economy, et cetera, in the state of Florida. Start with that, and then we'll come back after the news.
Certainly. Governor DeSantis decried the misrepresentation of the summary statement on the ballot. That was at the Florida Sheriff's Association meeting in July. The misrepresentation of that amendment is been packaged to make it sound very simple and very attractive. We have an array of things that impact the day-to-day lives and livelihoods of individuals that that amendment will dramatically impact. And I look forward to talking about some of those, everything from what it does to our auto insurance to the service levels that we receive, and everything from our health care to our day-to-day interactions with individuals that we do business with.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Amendment 3 today. That's the POTA amendment that's on our ballot that we'll be voting on in the next 30-plus days. And we have with us today Lawrence Perkins that's talking about that. Keep Florida fresh. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right at the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.